Welcome. Welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. We are so glad you're here. And for anyone who has opened this message from a digital source, we would like to say this is a live teleconference meeting. That means that there will be people calling in from all over the place. We're going to give them a little bit of time, 3 to 5 minutes to get here. So just get comfortable, and we will start in just a little bit. And anytime you digital listeners, anytime you'd like to be on the teleconference with us, you would simply dial 605-475-2090, enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. Also, if you would like an email reminder of the meetings from which you can join on your computer, then text me your email address to 904-993-2876. Just shoot me a text with your address. I'll add you to the list. You'll get a reminder, and it will also have a little place that says join meeting so that you can come right in on your computer. So if you would like to say hello while we are waiting for others to arrive, now's a good time to do that.
Good evening, everyone, from Steve and Cindy.
Hi, Claudia. Steve and Cindy. Hi, Claudia. God bless you all.
God bless.
Hi, Vicki. God bless you.
Hi, hi, Kathy. Everyone. Welcome. Okay. Anybody else want to say hello? Bye. Praise the Lord. Did I catch everybody? Stephen, Cindy, Kathy, and Claudia so far? Say hello, Joyner.
Hello, this is Helen.
Hi, Helen. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
The cat just joined us and said hello. Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
Ah, that sounds like Charles.
You have a good memory of voices.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, ma'am.
He sounds like your husband. He sounds like Phil.
I agree.
I wonder why. They're brothers, actually.
I know. I knew that. My goodness, he does sound like Phil.
Phil sounds like me.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
the girls is interesting.
And I sound like Finn.
Oh, Finn, you made it. Great.
I made it. You know, I looked at the number and it had 605 on. I thought that's an area code for South Dakota where I used to live. And I thought, I wonder if I have to put one before the 605. And I thought, no, I know I'm not calling South Dakota. So sure enough, I did it the way I was supposed to, and I got through.
So all right. Praise the Lord.
Amazing things happen when you do it the way you're told.
Yeah, amazing things happen when you do it the right way.
Yeah, that's good advice.
So, who else would like to say hello?
Are you speaking to me?
Hi, Gretchen.
I made it too, Miss Vicki and Phil. I made it too.
Oh, great.
Watson in Jacksonville, Florida.
Thank you, Mitch.
Hey, and I got Miss Annette over here. Say hello.
All right.
All right, you guys, I'm going to mute out. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
We're from way down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Woohoo! Who else? Anybody else want to say hello before we get started? If not, I am going to go ahead and mute your telephones. For anyone who is new on the line, what that means is that you can make all the noise you want to in the background. Nobody is going to hear it because your phone will be muted. And then after our message, I will let you know how to unmute your phone so that you can join if you have a comment or a question or something to say before we close. So last chance, anybody else want to say hello? Now's your chance to do it. Well, thank you for joining us. Hold on. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we have an excellent message for you tonight. Thank you for joining us. You will be blessed. So make yourself comfortable. Get ready. I'm going to pray us in. Our mission, by the way, is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ. And these messages are instrumental in that. In that mission, as well as anything else we can do to help you understand your true identity. We are here and we are excited to help you. So get ready. Like I say, I'm going to pray us in and then we'll get started. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are a good God. We worship you this evening. And we thank you that you have brought us this message from your heart, Lord, to help your people grow up in you, to be more like you, and to grow up to enjoy the benefits of your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this message. Ask you that you anoint it as you have, and that it blesses the hearers mightily, helps them to grow in you. And we, in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment against this message that would attempt to blunt it or distort it in any way in the hearing of your people. And we loose the Holy Spirit and say, have your way, Lord, in this message tonight, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All righty. We're going to go a little bit quickly tonight. So if you're a note taker, get ready. We're in a series that is designed to help us understand the deeper things of God through symbolisms, analogies, comparisons, metaphors, parabolic, and prophetic language that is used in the Bible. And currently, the messages are looking at the significance of numbers in Scripture. This study of numbers has nothing to do with numerology. Let us say that again. There are no magic formulas. There's no luck. There are no Bible codes involved. We're not preaching another gospel. We're not creating a new doctrine that makes numbers some kind of God in our lives. Instead, we are simply giving you yet another valuable tool to validate God's word and to realize how awesome our Lord God really is. Now, if you missed any of these messages, you can text me 904-993-2876. And request the link for the recordings, or you can find them on our website Freedoms with an S, Way Ministries is plural, .com. Now, so far, we've seen how numbers show the wonderful evidence of the truth of God's word, and they point out the dangers of what is called dynamic equivalency in Bible translations. For those who have not heard that term, that's basically where the translator says, okay, this is what God meant, and I can say it any way I want to. We need to have God's heart on the matter, not man's interpretation of what the translator thought God meant to say. Numbers have a perfect relationship to the scriptures, and many of the deeper truths in the word are found in the numbers. The mathematical precision, the pattern of numerical meanings in the Bible, it proves both numerical inspiration and it proves verbal inspiration, putting to rest any argument that man wrote the Bible. Man penned the Bible, but it's written by the Holy Spirit. So far, we've shown the meaning of numbers 1 through 4, and now we're continuing our study on numbers in Scripture, and we will be entering grace. That is the spiritual meaning for the number 5. Again, we're not attempting to validate something we think we know by making numbers fit into it. We're not putting our trust in numbers or what is being revealed about them. We put our trust in the living God, who has used math as another method of helping us grow in Him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. So as a quick review, we showed that the spiritual meaning of the number 1 is united or unity. And that 1 is not meant to denote singleness, but is a plural unity. It is a coming together of several or many to become an inseparable unit. The number 2 speaks of witness, which shows both union and division. Although that sounds contradictory, it makes sense because a witness will show agreement with one side and oppose the other. So a witness is at the same time a union and a division. There is a twofold implication of both good and evil in the number 2, and it carries the stamp of difference. In the number 3, God demonstrated completeness. 3 speaks of God's fullness. The number 3 is all over Scripture. It's designed into life. It is part of practically everything we do. In God's way, a thing is revealed in the natural so that it can become the spiritual and then manifest into fullness. 3 is also the number that relates to the resurrection and the resurrected life, which is being complete in Jesus. The number 3 in God's math relates to completion, fullness, and resurrection, which is the completed work of Christ and the fullness of our salvation. 4 is the number of creation, and it carries an indirect meaning of trial, testing, or experience. This is because the world, God's creation, is where we learn in God's first mention of the number 4, He connected creation to prosperity, showing that His heart on the matter is that His creation should prosper. We saw the 4 strengths of man are his mind, will, emotions, and desires. These are the strengths that we are to place on the altar and sacrifice to the consuming fire of God so that a divine exchange can take place in us.
So if you missed any of that, let us know. We'll get it to you. That divine exchange can only take place by grace. It can only happen by His grace. The goodness of God that's demonstrated in Scripture by the number 5. I want to give you a quote from E.W. Bullinger. He had this to say about grace. Grace means favor. But what kind of favor? For favor is of many kinds. Favor shown to the miserable, we call mercy. Favor shown to the poor, we call pity. Favor shown to the suffering, we call compassion. Favor shown to the obstinate, we call patience. But favor shown to the unworthy, we call grace. This is favor indeed, favor which is truly divine in its source and in its character. That ends the quote. It's only by God's grace that we live and move and have our being. It is in Him that we live, and that by His grace. The first reference to the number 5 is in Genesis chapter 14. 14:9. With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. Now, that's totally out of context, but we'll explain. But having heard, as we were putting this together, having heard from many sources and authorities that 5 is symbolic of grace, I have to admit, when I looked up this first reference, I did not see grace. I didn't see anything close. And that really caused some questioning in my mind. So I went to the Strong's, and I found out that the word 5 in this verse did not have a root word to draw from. And that made the doubt worse. 5 here is a primitive numeral, and it quite simply means 5. 15, 5th, or 5 apiece. So I figured this was a dead end to showing grace as far as keeping with the law of first reference. But I was wrong and God is right. Imagine that. I had to examine the number 5 and the verse in light of the context. And then the meaning became clear. More clear.
Hallelujah. So, look what's happening in this chapter in Genesis. There is a huge battle. 4 kings named in this verse were led by Chedorlaomer.
Maybe we should.
Chedorlaomer, Laomer. All the kings of the cities in the area must have served Chedorlaomer, who must have been a really mean dude because there was rebellion against him by 5 of the kings who were named in verse 2. And in case you want to know, the 5 who rebelled against Chedorlaomer were Bera, the king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and Bela, king of Zoar. Chedorlaomer and his 4 allied kings came against these 5 kings, and the 4 kings won the battle. So think of the number meanings. 4, creation, or the world, comes against 5, grace, and defeats it. That can't be, can it? You can see why there was some confusion, but it becomes more clear as we read on. In the course of this altercation, Sodom and Gomorrah are conquered, and Lot, Abram's brother's son, is carried away captive. When Abram hears about this, he rises up and takes just over 300 armed servants, and they go after these armies that have captured his nephew. This small band of servants goes forth to war and vanquishes Chedorlaomer and all the kings that were with him. That's God's goodness. It could only have been God's grace on Abram that brought the victory. When he returns, all those five kings that had been defeated celebrated with him, and the type of true grace, Jesus Christ, appeared to Abram. So let's read it in Genesis 14:14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. Now, Dan means judge, by the way. Abram was executing judgment. Isn't it interesting that this is the 14th verse, and 14 is the number for deliverance? There are so many instances where verse numbers flow right along with the meanings God established for his numbers, that I am convinced the translators of the King James were also divinely inspired in their separation of the text. Still reading in Genesis 14.
Let me read it. Verse 15 and 16, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So basically, he recovered all, everything. Verses 17 and 18. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. I'm going to stop here and say this is called a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in his pre-incarnate state. The priest of the Most High God, bringing grace, demonstrating the table of the Lord, a physical prophecy of the Messiah, who is the grace of God. Verses 19 and 20. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. So even though, you know, my natural mind wasn't able to connect the word five in that first reference and grace, God did. The five who were defeated by four, the kings who were beaten down by the world, met grace, and in grace was their victory and their blessing.
Praise the Lord. Connected to grace is a general understanding of the responsibility of man. When we receive God's grace, we have a responsibility. How will we respond to God's ability? It was God who gave Abram the victory. 300 men could not have defeated five armies in the natural, and the word says it was a slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. There was a right response from Abram to God's grace. Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth part of all he gained. The tithe was established right here, and it is under the covenant. This event took place 430 years before the law. If you are a covenant child of God, you are in error to say you don't have to tithe because you're not under the law. Although you're no longer under the law, you must now acknowledge that tithing is a principle of God included in our covenant with him, not a Jewish law or a demand of religion. Grace is seen in the five offerings of sacrifice on the altar: the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the meat offering. Now, we want to look very briefly at these to see the depths and aspects of God's grace. In the burnt offering, only the skin was kept for the priest. The entire animal, aside from the skin, was consumed, and this was the principal offering to the Lord. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we have the garments of salvation. Leviticus 7:8 says, "And the priest that offers any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered."
Amen. Grace gives us covering. Of the peace offering, the priest usually ate the breast and shoulder parts, denoting the strength and the affections of the Lord. In the sin offering is a picture of Christ as our substitute, bearing the judgment and answering the righteous requirements of the law on our behalf. The trespass offering shows Christ's atonement as twofold, so that we can be made free of offenses that we brought against God and against our brothers and sisters. The meat offering speaks of Christ's perfect humanity, fine flours without impurity. The oil poured over is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the root word of frankincense is heart. It's a very fragrant and pleasing smell. And when it burns, the smoke is very white, again, showing purity. Leviticus 2, verse 1, "And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon." This meat offering, put into the oven, represents the fire of affliction taken by our Lord, the pain that he endured at the hands of men. Five offerings of sacrifice, all demonstrating the grace and goodness of God.
Amen. Jesus divided five loaves and fed the people. He then divided himself into five loaves and continues to feed us. We're talking about the five ministries through which God's grace is revealed. I guess that's the fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4:8 says, "Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." What are those gifts? Ephesians 4:11 and 12 answers that, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those churches and denominations that teach that one or more of these giftings are no longer necessary must see something that we don't see. These gifts put in place for the perfecting of the saints. I don't see the saints perfected just yet. They were given for the work of the ministry. I don't see the lack of need for ministry works, or at least not yet. They were for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. We see more breaking and tearing down of the body than we do see of building it up. So let's just say we disagree with the doctrine that says any one of these offices is no longer needed.
Amen. We're going to quickly mention a few more fives that show God's grace without going into great explanation because we need to keep moving on. There are five women listed in the lineage of Jesus, all of whom have received God's grace in what we would consider extreme circumstances in one way or another. Those women are Rahab, Ruth, Tamar, Bathsheba, and Mary. Rahab was a harlot. Ruth wasn't even an Israelite. She was a Moabitess. Tamar was a widow who posed as a harlot to trick her father-in-law Judah into bed with her. Bathsheba was taken from her husband. And Mary, who birthed Jesus, Mary was in a position to be put away or killed. In Genesis chapter 28, God promised Jacob five things. I will give you this land where you are. I will be with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back again, and I will not leave you. Grace provides for us. Grace accompanies us. Grace keeps us. Grace brings us again to our place when we stray. And grace never forsakes or abandons us. That is a beautiful picture.
Amen. Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah named the Christ to come as five things: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we can know Jesus, the Christ, who is with us now, by all of those names. Jeremiah foretold grace on Jerusalem in chapter 33. In five voices: the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and for his mercy endures forever. Lord, we pause right now to lift our voices in praise to you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's more to say, but if we stop here with five, we can get in another number tonight. So let's look at six. This is one of the very few numbers, maybe the only one, where God's meaning is given to us directly, which means he doesn't want any misinterpretation. Revelation 13:18 tells us that six is the number of man, and man was created on the sixth day. It's as if God is saying, just to be sure you know, in case you haven't figured this out, six is the number of man. The first place this number is named is in Scripture is concerning Leah.
Yes. I love the story of Leah. Genesis 30, verse 20, and Leah said, God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. and she called his name Zebulun. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to go into all the nuances of the relationships that are represented here. But I do want to say that there was no small competition between Rachel and Leah. Jacob loved Rachel. She was the one he wanted from the beginning. Leah was the also-ran who was given to him instead of Rachel at the first. In deception. So Leah spent much of her life trying to please a man. She could not find the love she craved, no matter how many children she gave him. In the previous chapter, Leah gave birth to Judah and decided to give up childbearing and praise the Lord. And you know what came out of that decision. When Leah stopped trying to please man and turned to the Lord, she fell into the lineage of the Lion of Judah. But here, in this verse, the sixth son is named Zebulun, which means habitation or dwelling place. And she was naming him that because she thought his birth would finally cause her husband, man, six, to sleep in her tent instead of her sister's. But the truth is, God is the one who named that child. It was a prophetic sign through numbers that God would dwell in man. The root word for number six in this verse means to be bright, cheerful, be greatly glad, make mirth, and rejoice. We believe that is where grace is bringing us back to as we overcome our humanity and move into our spirituality. We are not, let us remind you, as we've learned, we are not human beings trying to have a spiritual experience. We are spirit beings having a human experience. Thank you, Lord.
I'd just like to add that all of this is on page 6 of the teaching. Hallelujah. Goliath had six pieces of natural armor that did not protect him from David, who picked up five smooth stones, the number of grace. It is the grace of salvation and our application of it that defeats the enemy in our lives. Then we use the whole armor of God, six pieces of spiritual armor, to protect us. Each piece is an offensive, not a defensive piece. Because we're meant to push through the enemy lines in the spirit realm and come before the throne of grace. Think of it. Earth is the first heaven, and God is in the third heaven. To kneel before his heavenly throne, we've got to go through some things. We've got to put on the whole armor of God and go through the second heaven, which is the place of powers and principalities in high places. And we must draw blood. Jeremiah said, if we withhold our sword from blood, we are cursed. Let's take up the armor. Some people say they put it on daily. My question is, why would you ever take it off? Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
The six pieces of armor represent pieces of our salvation that we appropriate into our lives. The helmet of salvation represents the mind of Christ. This enables us to test the spirits and to cast down every high thing, every thought or imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that this thought fights the knowledge of God. It means it comes up against it. And comes up against what we know of God, compares itself to God, and then declares that somehow this thought is greater. The next piece is the breastplate of righteousness. This is Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, and our righteousness in Him. This piece of armor protects our hearts from following negative emotions, which in most cases are evil spirits on assignment to keep us from, or to keep us in bondage, keep us trapped in bondage to the devil. And this is a piece of spiritual armor that gives us what we need to have compassion toward our brothers and sisters, keeps us from judging them. When we're operating in self-righteousness, we judge.
Wearing the belt of truth is being surrounded and held up by Jesus. He encircles us around our middle parts, the innermost reins, the bowels of mercy. And it is the belt, the truth, that holds all the armor in place. It is the strength of the truth, Jesus Christ, we can depend on to keep us covered. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having the mind and righteousness and truth of Christ is the preparation that enables us to walk in the love of God. That is the thing that brings peace to eliminate turmoil and calmness, to remove stress in our lives and the lives of others. The two pieces of armor we carry are the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Once again, the shield is not meant to be a defensive weapon or something that we cower behind or underneath in fear. We use the shield like old cow catchers on the freight trains. We thunder ahead in faith and trust the shield to knock our enemies off balance, to catch them off guard, that we can run them through with the sword. Now, we're not talking about people here, don't forget. This is a spiritual battle, not earthly. We're going into the second heaven. The sword of the Spirit is the word of the living God, quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In other words, separating your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and desires, from the evil spirits that want to guide us into darkness, or that have kept us there. Six pieces of spiritual armor for every man. If we choose them, each one is Jesus. The anointed mind is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Righteousness is Jesus. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Truth is Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peace.
Peace. Amen.
Peace is Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to say about the belt of truth. Sorry.
Thank you.
Belt of truth is Jesus.
Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
There.
Okay, so we missed that one, huh? What about faith?
Faith. Amen.
It's the shield, is it? The shield of faith? Okay. Faith is Jesus. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen. Amen translates faith, and what the Lord says next qualifies and explains Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And the word of God is Jesus Christ, come in the flesh. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And there is mighty word of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, to end off tonight, I want to go to what Jesus says in Revelation about the number of man and the beast. Don't start throwing tomatoes. Don't hang up. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So Jesus says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. We've already seen that that number is 6. And his number, his refers to the beast, 666. 666. When we understand the spiritual meaning, pardon me, and the significance of God's math, when we get it, the mathematical precision that he built into his word, then the spiritual meaning of numbers tells us the beast is us. 6, the number of man in its fullness, 3 sixes, 3 of anything in Scripture shows the fullness of the thing, is a man who is altogether in opposition to God, thinking of himself, depending on himself, exalting himself, thoroughly into self. Spiritually speaking, the beast is self. Jesus speaks of the mark in the forehead. The beast, rather than having and exhibiting the mind of Christ, that self-spirit, thinks only carnally, and the carnal mind is enmity with God. That means mutual hatred. There is mutual hatred between God's thoughts and thoughts from the devil that we agree with and take on as our own. When a person opens his mouth, you can tell whether or not he's carnally minded, leaning to his own understanding, after having been trained by the devil to do that. That's the mark in the forehead. The mark in the right hand leaning to our own strength and abilities. This is the I can do it myself attitude. One of those five I wills that got Lucifer thrown out of heaven. I will climb up. I will climb up socially, financially, relationally, spiritually, whatever it is. I can do this. I can do it myself. It is the I can do it myself attitude and response to God. No, I got this, God. I can do it. We don't need God because we're strong. We can handle it, whatever it is. A person who doesn't need God's strength in his life has the mark in his right hand. Now, does this mean there won't be a physical application of these spiritual truths? I don't know. We don't know. Certainly, there's enough fear out there in the body of Christ to make it happen. There are enough people who have spoken of a literal mark, written about a literal mark, and thereby decreeing it, that Satan has a legal right to bring those prophetic utterances to pass. Remember, our words, the words of man, are the most creative force in the universe because they are carried on the breath of God. We decide a thing in our minds. We declare it with our lips. We decree it when we write it down. What does Habakkuk say? Write the vision and make it plain, that those that see it may run with it. Well, the devil's demons are looking for you to decree something that opposes God so they can pick it up and run with it. A decree is the king's final word. It cannot be changed. Only a higher, more current decree can override or supersede it. We need to know that God looks on the heart. He knows who's marked and who isn't. He knows who's sealed with his mark in the forehead, thinking like he's thinking, lining up in agreement with his word. He knows. He knows who's leaning on their own strength and who is dependent on him. He knows. But the good news is, we can decide right now to join that group of overcomers. Thank you, Lord. So if you want to do that, I am going to ask you to pray with me tonight. I will lead you in this prayer. And we are going to pray out loud. The reason that we pray out loud is because, according to Psalm 103, angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. That means they have to hear it. Angels cannot read your mind. Only God knows your thoughts. And the same thing is true for demons. They need to know that you do not agree with them, that you break agreement with them, that you're not in their camp anymore, so that they can be ready to pack up and leave. Hallelujah. So if you will, if you want to be that overcomer, then pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud so that all the host of heaven and the demons in hell will hear you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you with a heart of thankfulness for your grace. I repent to you for all the times I failed to recognize your faithfulness in my life. Your hand in my circumstances. And your love covering me.
and your love covering me.
I humbly ask your forgiveness, Father.
I humbly ask your forgiveness, Father.
For abandoning you.
For abandoning you.
You've never abandoned me.
You never abandoned me.
I declare that your goodness and your mercy endures forever.
I declare that your goodness and your mercy endures forever.
I will seek and find it.
I will seek and find it.
Living in your grace.
Living in your grace.
And not the favor that is offered by the world.
And not the favor that is offered by the world.
Once again, I ask.
I ask.
That you bind me to your altar, Lord.
Bind me to your altar, Lord.
So that I won't crawl off when it gets hot.
So that I won't crawl off when it gets hot.
So that I won't forsake your purpose in my life.
So that I won't forsake your purpose in my life.
Keep my ears open to your voice, Lord.
Keep my ears open to your voice, Lord.
My heart open to your love.
My heart open to your love.
And Father, now that you have shown me the beast,
Father, now that you've shown me the beast,
I will separate myself.
I will separate myself
from those actions and attitudes.
Those actions and attitudes
that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of you.
Would exalt themselves against the knowledge of you.
I don't want to fall into agreement.
I don't want to fall into agreement
with any thoughts that are not of you, Lord.
With any thoughts that are not of you, Lord.
And so I thank you for the mind of Christ.
I thank you for the mind of Christ.
I thank you for your Holy Spirit in me.
I thank you for your Holy Spirit in me.
That witnesses to your truth.
That witnesses to your truth.
I humble myself under your hand, Lord.
I humble myself under your hand, Lord.
Under your guidance.
Under your guidance.
Your teaching.
Your teaching.
Your direction.
Your direction.
Even when it looks like a place I don't want to go.
Even when it looks like a place I don't want to go.
It is about you, Jesus.
About you, Jesus.
It's about your body coming together.
About your body coming together.
And providing a place for your head.
Providing a place for your head.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep me mindful, Lord God.
Keep me mindful, Lord God.
That I am a spirit being.
That I am a spirit being.
And my rewards may not be earthly.
My rewards may not be earthly.
But they are everlasting.
They are everlasting.
Give me your strength and your wisdom.
Give me your strength and your wisdom.
To wield the sword of your spirit with accuracy.
To wield the sword of your spirit with accuracy.
And with effectiveness.
And with effectiveness.
To advance your kingdom.
To advance your kingdom.
To cut off from myself and others.
Cut off from myself and others.
Every unclean thing.
Every unclean thing.
That would hinder our purpose in you.
That would hinder our purpose in you.
Seal me in my forehead.
Seal me in my forehead.
With your thinking.
With your thinking.
In my heart with your compassion.
In my heart with your compassion.
And in my arm.
In my arm.
With the strength that only comes.
The strength that only comes.
From depending on your love.
From depending on your love.
Thank you that as I take up my cross.
Thank you as I take up my cross.
And die to myself.
And die to myself.
You come forth through me.
You come forth through me.
In power and demonstration.
In power and demonstration.
I yield myself to your purpose for me, Lord.
I yield myself to your purpose for me, Lord.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Send me.
Send me.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Take a breath. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for this prayer, and I thank you for every single person who prayed it. And I thank you, Lord, that you help us to fulfill our pledge to you. And I bind and break the power of those self spirits that rise up in rebellion, independence, pride, intelligentsia, and any other thing, Lord, that would keep us from fully leaning on you, depending on you, and using the mind of Christ above our own. Thank you that you show every individual in the sound of my voice when we're sliding down that slippery slope into self, that we can reach out, you take our hand and pull us back in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody has a comment or a question, you can push the *6 key on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone and put you back on the conference line where everyone can hear you. *6. Any comments out there? Before Bill closes our meeting tonight, this is your chance to interact. *6, unmute your phone.
Good evening, it's Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. I'm always amazed at the lineage of the women in Jesus' line.
I know.
Cool. That's cool.
There's such grace in our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
This is Finn. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I really enjoyed this tonight. At first, I didn't know what to think about numbers, but then I was thinking, when you got to 5, I was thinking about what I believe the Lord had shown me one time about 5. And it was regarding the fivefold ministry. And I'd had a dream, and I won't go into the full dream, but I'll just say what I saw in the dream. The interpretation of it, I don't feel to share with everyone tonight. But I had this dream, and it was more like a vision. I saw this hand out in blackness, cut off at the wrist. And the Lord spoke to me what I thought the Lord was speaking what it meant. And several months later, I realized that it wasn't anything that I thought it meant, and it meant something different. But as I was thinking about the fivefold ministry, where is it on the human body that we have 5 different times? We've got 5
hands and the feet.
We've got 5 toes on each foot, and we've got 5 fingers on each hand. And the Lord spoke to me, how important is the fivefold ministry, and those that are operating in the fivefold ministry are operating rightly. Because it says God has given us apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And in the King James, it says for the perfecting of the saints. But somebody else shared with me, for the equipping of the saints. And I thought, Jesus said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And if a fivefold ministry is operating under servitude, and that is his goal, to point people how to be a servant in this world through his office. And I thought, I just thought it's so interesting that God would give. I thought, why 5? Why five, Lord? Why do I have five fingers? Why do I have five toes? Anyway, I thought I'd just share that.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you very much. Good observation. And our hands and our feet represent our works and our walk with the Lord. And it should be in grace. It should be in grace always.
Yeah. And if you've got one big toe that you've tripped on over the carpet, it's hard to walk. And it hurts. You've been one toe underneath the other. We need all five of those toes on each foot. And we need all five fingers to operate and to move in the world. So, yeah, numbers. I really enjoyed that tonight. A lot of stuff there.
Thank you very much. Join us again.
Okay, I will.
Any other comments or questions tonight?
Yes, sis. I just want to say an awesome teaching. Thank you, sis. What a blessing you are.
Thank you, Miss. God bless you. Yes, God is good.
Yes, he is. Thank you all the time. Praise you, Lord.
Could I say one more thing, too? I'd like to give a kudos to Phil and to Vicki Burdett. They come to our church often, and we've gotten to know them, and we've gotten to respect them, and we've seen the goodness in their life, and we felt the anointing by what they've shared in front of us. You know, with exhortation, if it's in prayer with a microphone in the front of the church or at a Bible study on a Wednesday night, where both Phil and Vicki have brought some wonderful things to us. And they've really been a blessing to our church. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam. That's very sweet. God bless you. Glory to God. He put us in the right place. He's definitely planted us here. So praise the Lord. Anybody else? Comments? Questions?
Yeah, they are a blessing to a lot of us out here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God.
Yeah. You're the one that lives in Jacksonville. I'm not too far from you. I live in right downtown Lake City, Florida.
Right around the corner. What a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay.
And them guys are praying for you down here.
Thank you, Jim Phil. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Appreciate you.
Oh, love you guys.
If there are not any other comments or questions, I will give this over to Pastor Phil to bless us, seal the word, and bless us into this beautiful, glorious week in God's glorious kingdom.
Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you that you have called us for such a time as this. So we give you honor and glory this evening. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your word coming forth. We thank you, Lord, that it will bring forth fruit in your people.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for helping us to grow up in you, Father, to enjoy the benefits of your kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Your word says to forget not all your benefits.
Yes.
So, Lord, we receive and we want more. We are hungry. We are hungry people. Power us, Lord, to walk in your will, to hear your voice clearly, and to operate in what you give us to operate in, and to recognize your leading in our lives and all that we say and do. So we give you honor this evening, and as Aaron, the high priest of the children of God, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, we like to close with what they call the Aaronic benediction. It is in Numbers, the 6th chapter, the blessing. I'm going to do it in Hebrew. It's a chant in English. And God bless you as you receive, as the Lord blesses you through his word. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I will add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts. Help us to grow up and be more aware of your presence every day in our lives, and to recognize your goodness in all that we do, and to be sensitive to your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, your goodness. We give you honor and glory this evening from the bottom of our hearts, in the mighty, precious, and powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. And this message will be repeated, brought by the Holy Spirit through Gretchen on Friday night. If you want to listen again, you'll be blessed again.
Could I make one more comment?
Go ahead, Finn.
It's something that Phil spoke, or you spoke, Vicki, tonight, and it really hit me. I thought, how true is this? We are a spiritual being having a human experience. And I thought of Jesus. I thought, because of Jesus, that's true. Because he came down to this earth and he became a man. He experienced what it was like to be a human and to suffer. To suffer from those that hated him when all he had was love for them. To suffer when all he wanted to do was good, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to give people salvation. And many turned against him. And, you know, we are a spiritual being, because he then died and went to heaven, and we take on his death and his resurrection. So we are a spiritual being in this earth. We aren't just mere humans anymore. We're spiritual in God, and we have all the power and authority to do exactly what he wants us to do, and to be a light. And it really hit me. It was just another way of saying, We are kings and priests. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and we can do it. So I enjoyed this night. It was wonderful.
Great. I'm glad we were able to spark some excitement. Hallelujah, brother.
It's a lot of notes. I had to just kind of abbreviate things as I took my notes, and I thought, well, it's just going to have to come back to me, you know, because I couldn't write down everything that you said. But it was very interesting, and I can see, too, the importance of numbers and how it's just another way of proving that the Word of God is right on. It's true. And
that's
for God to even make that happen in his Word is a miracle in itself, really. To have these numbers come out with all these meanings, and it's just amazing.
Amen. God bless you.
All right. Well, I maybe talked too much, but I enjoyed it. First time in, and I enjoyed it.
I'm so glad. Thank you. God bless you. And
all right.
Everybody that's still on the line, have a great night. Have a great week. We'll be back in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table, Friday night, 8:30, with this same message. God bless you.
God bless.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye now.
Nice to meet y'all.
Good night.
Night.